You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Friday, August 14, 2026. Fly like an eagle. With new Permian takeaway capacity coming online, gas production could soar. Published by Lisa Scheidler. For the first time in years, the Permian Basin's chronic natural gas takeaway constraint is beginning to ease, and in a big way. Major pipeline projects entering service this year and next will add roughly 5.3 BCF per day of new egress capacity from the Waha area, led by the Gulf Coast Express, or GCX, expansion, Hugh Brinson Pipeline, and Black Comb Pipeline. That build-out should materially improve Waha pricing and reduce the risk of severe in-basin discounts, but it also raises a new set of questions. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss the major Permian gas pipeline projects scheduled to come online in 2026 and 27, how much new capacity they will provide, and consider what the shift means for Waha prices, Gulf Coast balances, and the U.S. natural gas market. This is the first blog in a series examining the outlook for the major U.S. producing basins. We should note at the top that today's blog does not include the Solitude pipeline system, which includes twin pipelines from the Permian to the Katy area near Houston. We'll dig into those details, which were announced August 17 by Whitewater and its partners Devon, Diamondback, and Western Midstream, in a future blog, The Permian, a major topic of discussion at our upcoming School of Energy. Fundamentals is the country's largest oil-producing basin and one of the biggest drivers of U.S. gas growth, which makes it the natural place to begin. Its crude oil-focused wells produce large and growing volumes of associated gas, but getting that gas out of West Texas has become one of the market's biggest challenges and a major constraint on oil production. In the series ahead, we will look at the Permian's major producers and the basin's next set of challenges, including what increased production will mean for the NGL market. For today's blog, let's start with the big gas pipeline projects that have come online or are set to begin operations this year or next. In June, Kinder Morgan brought its Gulf Coast Express expansion online. The project added 570 million cubic feet per day, or about 0.6 BCF per day, of capacity from the Waha hub to the Agua Dulce hub in South Texas. It is fully subscribed and can move about 2.6 BCF per day in total. The new capacity helped Waha prices recover sharply from their lows but didn't solve the Permian's takeaway problem on its own. That brings us to the Hugh Brinson Pipeline, the next big outlet for Permian gas. Phase 1 construction is complete and the line has started moving gas. Pipeline owner-operator Energy Transfer expects the ramp-up to continue through September, when the project should reach its full 1.5 BCF per day capacity. The exact volumes moving today are not public, so while we know gas is flowing, we don't know how much. Once fully ramped, the pipeline will give producers another route out of Waha to Maypearl, south of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That is a big deal for Waha because it gives trapped Permian gas another path to higher-value markets in addition to the Gulf Coast. Energy Transfer will later add compression and lift west-to-east capacity to 2.2 BCF per day, and it is targeting Q2 2027 for Phase 2 completion. Next up is the Black Comb Pipeline, a 2.5 BCF per day pipeline that runs from the Permian to Agua Dulce. It has begun commissioning and could enter service by the end of October, then ramp up to its full capacity through the rest of 2026. Black Comb is operated by Whitewater Midstream and is 70% owned by the WPC joint venture, 17.5% by Targa and 12.5% by MPLX. WPC is owned by Whitewater, MPLX and Enbridge. It gives Permian producers yet another major outlet for their gas and should further ease pressure at Waha. In 2027, the planned Traverse pipeline between Agua Dulce and the Katy-Houston area is expected to give shippers, including Black Comb Connected Supply, additional options. Then comes Eiger Express, a new 48-inch diameter pipeline that will move 3.7 BCF per day from the Permian to Katy, west of Houston. It is expected to enter service in mid-2028 with 2.5 BCF per day, with the remaining 1.2 BCF per day coming a year later in mid-2029. The Matterhorn joint venture owns 70% of Eiger, while ONEOK and MPLX each own 15%. The Matterhorn group includes Whitewater, ONEOK, MPLX and Enbridge. Next, let's look at the flows out of the Waha hub, because it tells the story of the past year and gives us some big clues about what comes next as new takeaway capacity comes online. Eastbound flows out of the hub have been running close to 14 BCF per day for most of this year, very near the current capacity, leaving very little room in the system. That starts to change this fall. Capacity should rise above 16 BCF per day in October and approach 19 BCF per day in November as Hugh Brinson and Blackcomb ramp up. The added capacity is important because the Waha market has been under extraordinary pressure. Waha normally trades below Henry Hub because it is a production hub with little local demand, so gas must move to the Gulf Coast, Mexico, and other demand centers. Intermittently throughout 2024 and 2025, Waha basis fell to extremely low levels. Producers without long-term offtake agreements or hedging had to accept deeply discounted prices for gas, and often negative outright prices, to keep their oil wells running. In the first half of 2026, the situation became even more grim for unhedged producers. Waha basis repeatedly fell to $5 to $9 per million BTU below Henry Hub as associated gas production grew faster than new pipeline capacity could be added to move it out of the basin. The turn came in June and July. As the GCX expansion entered service and Hugh Brinson began moving early volumes, Waha basis tightened sharply. Prices averaged about $1.28 per million BTU below Henry Hub in July, compared with roughly $6 per million BTU below Henry Hub during the first 6 months of the year. We still expect some bumps over the next couple of months as the new pipelines ramp up, but at least Waha prices should be in positive territory. Our Aero model puts Waha around $1.08 per million BTU below Henry Hub in August and 95 cents per million BTU below Henry Hub in September. It then averages minus $1.23 per million BTU below Henry Hub for the following 14 months. In short, we do not expect the Waha price environment to look anything like it did earlier this year. Once Hugh Brinson reaches full service and Blackcomb comes online, the extreme constraint-driven discounts should mostly be behind us. That gives Permian producers more room to grow. The Permian has reached record production levels and is expected to continue growing in the coming months, with future gains projected through 2027. We anticipate several BCF per day of incremental production capacity over that period. We also see room for growth to accelerate, enough for our long-term outlook to assume another Permian pipeline will be needed by 2033, reflecting the need for midstream infrastructure to keep pace with production. The question now is what happens after the gas leaves the Permian? If production continues to grow, more gas will move toward Katy and the Texas Gulf Coast just as LNG demand is ramping up. That could shift the pressure further downstream. We are already seeing weakness at Katy and Houston Ship Channel. Pipeline projects such as Trident, Blackfin, and Mustang Express should add routes toward the Sabine River area and help connect West Texas supply with growing LNG demand. The question is whether that infrastructure arrives fast enough. If it does, the Permian gets another leg of growth without recreating the Waha pricing problem. If it does not, the constraint could show up somewhere else, whether in South Texas, along the Gulf Coast, or in Louisiana. That is what we'll be watching as this series continues. How much more can the Permian produce once gas is no longer the constraint? How quickly can the downstream system absorb those volumes, and how will producers respond? The Permian Basin will be discussed extensively during our upcoming School of Energy Fundamentals, a two-day conference designed to help professionals build their understanding of energy markets, from production and infrastructure to exports, pricing, and end-use demand. The conference is September 9th to 10th in Houston. Fly Like an Eagle was written by Steve Miller and appears as the second song on side one of the Steve Miller Band's ninth studio album of the same name. With its chorus of time keeps on slipping away, the song addresses how fast time moves, even during turbulent times. Released as a single in August 1976, it went to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart and has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Personnel on the record were Steve Miller, lead vocals, guitar, ARP Odyssey, Lonnie Turner bass, Gary Malibur, drums, and Joaquin Young, Hammond B3 organ. The album, Fly Like an Eagle, was recorded at CBS Studios in San Francisco during 1975-76. Produced by Steve Miller, it was released in May 1976 and went to number 3 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. It has been certified 4X Platinum by the RIAA. Four singles were released from the LP. As a side note, popular 1970s Tulsa cover band Paradise, which included Novi Labs' Rusty Brazil on bass and Mickey McMahon on lead guitar, covered Rockin' Me, the hit single off this album, and combined it with Free's All Right Now. Since Miller's song borrowed heavily from the Free tune, it made a good combination that would fill up a dance floor. The Steve Miller Band is an American rock band formed in San Francisco in 1966. After appearing at the Monterey Pop Festival and backing Chuck Berry for his Live at the Fillmore Auditorium album, the band signed with Capitol Records in November 1967. They released their debut album, Children of the Future, in 1968. They have released 18 studio albums, 6 live albums, and 30 singles. They have sold over 30 million records worldwide. Steve Miller was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2016. He has an ASCAP Golden Note Award and a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. 35 members have passed through the Steve Miller Band since its inception. Miller still plays an occasional show and last appeared in July at Lincoln Center in New York City.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.